Good morning and welcome to Neocone View. I'm Peter Newman, and joining us this morning from the office in Tillamook, the Justice Center office in Tillamook, is the Sheriff of Tillamook County, Andy Long. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's start with you. You were appointed back in November. A little bit of your history leading up to your now position as sheriff.
Well, let's see. Go back a little bit. I've got about 30 years of public service right out of high school, enlisted in the Coast Guard, and did 10 years active duty in that. And that's how I came to be in Tillamook County. I was stationed in Garibaldi in 86. And I've been here ever since.
Well, was the career path law enforcement to begin with?
Well, no, it really wasn't. I kind of got into the medical and then found out that driving boats is more fun, and did some of that on the small boat stations here on the coast in Oregon. And I spent a year down Depot Bay before I was done with my active duty there and was employed here at the sheriff's office in 91.
And what did you do at that point?
At the sheriff's office?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I was hired as a corrections deputy in the old jail, and we didn't have this facility, and it was on the top floor of the courthouse. And we had 16 beds, so there was like two of us on duty and old place, but I was hired as a corrections deputy in the first position.
We'll digress a little bit. Whenever I think of a corrections officer, I think of what a difficult job that must be. Is it anything like what we see in movies, television? Is it more or less exciting, or is it a lot of boredom punctuated by periods of, let's say, interest?
Yeah, kind of. I think citizens are getting a little more of a reality knowledge of jails by some of the TV shows that are on. But it's not like a lot of the movies, no. And jails are tend to be smaller, run, with local sheriff's office, all jails almost. There's a few municipalities that have jails in the state, but almost all are run by sheriffs. And they the bigger counties have, of course, a larger scale, and that's what some of those reality TVs go into and film. And, of course, you get to see the exciting parts, but not the slow,
We don't get to watch you eating lunch or anything like
that. Yeah, no, they, not. That's not very much fun to watch on TV, I imagine.
Well, this is a largely rural and a very spread out county. And do those possess challenges that, let's say, your city or your more occupied county brethren do not have?
Well, rural, we have the same crimes, we have the same things we respond to that other counties do. We just have it's the same amount for our capita, so we deal with all the same things, and keeps us busy. And we don't have as many deputies as, of course, some of the metro areas, but we stay busy.
One thing that occurs to me about specifically Tillamook County, although I'm sure there are other counties that fit the same description, is from a jurisdictional point of view, you've got three dead ends, in effect, north, south, and east. So what happens at those edges? You police, you sheriff right up to the line, and then you turn around and go back? Or how are the edges of our county handled?
Well, the deputies that are sworn in each county are sworn to the state. So I can enforce outside of the county, and so can the deputies. They're state sworn. However, if whatever act you do in another county has to go to that court, so you do have police powers per se in all over the state. And no, we don't just stop at the border. Our detectives, a lot of our cases go right straight east. We can't go very far west, but so our investigations end up over there quite often. If someone lives in the adjoining county and they come here and commit a crime, we may have to go there to investigate or to talk to them about it. So we cross the borders, and we have great partnerships with our adjoining counties.
Now, I imagine you must work rather closely with Lincoln County and Clatsop County and Washington County.
Yep, and the sheriffs of those counties, we all meet quarterly, so we have great working relationship with them.
When you do meet, when you do get together, what are some of the subjects that come up?
Well, just about everything. We meet quarterly. Actually, we just met in December, and there was 32 out of 36 sheriffs at this meeting, which was a huge attendance. And I was one of three new sheriffs there at that meeting. And we had to readjust where some of those committees that the sheriffs were assigned to, and the ones that retired, there was some left open. You know, a retiring sheriff is usually a senior sheriff, and some of those committees went to other senior sheriffs, and then some of us new guys, of course, got put on some committees. One of the committees that I really wanted was the Oregon State Marine Board, because we have so many rivers and bays, and we have Marine deputies, and so I wanted to stay very involved in that, so I went after that committee. But that's the kind of thing we do as sheriffs when we meet, is to get updates on what's going on with some of those committees and what projects we're doing. And, you know, as an example, we have a legislative committee that a sheriff is attached to, and we were dealing with some issues with the concealed handguns licenses and that kind of thing. So that's kind of what we do as we meet.
Now, you've been with the office for quite a long time, so I can't exactly call you the new guy, but as sheriff, you're the new guy. Was there anything when you took the office that you were just surprised at, that as working under a previous sheriff, you just... Oh, I didn't know that happened.
Oh, yeah, every day. Every day. Well, you know, Todd Anderson, when he retired, and not only he said this, but a few other sheriffs, they said, you just don't know what it's like being a sheriff until you are one. And I'm, you know, every day I learn something new, and you're real busy. You don't really know until that phone rings or you get an email, and then you've got, you know, a task to take care of. And we have our office has been, we slowed down a little bit with the winter with the service calls, but our detectives have been busy, and so we haven't quite slowed down enough that we have caught up yet. This is kind of our time of the year where we do our annual training and, you know, first aid and use of force and all those things, and we haven't quite got to that yet, so we still have some work to do before spring comes, which is pretty soon.
Our guest this morning on the Economy View is the sheriff of Tillamook County, Andy Longth. And imagine when spring break hits, that's when you start getting busy. That's just a guess off the top of my head.
Yeah. Living on the coast, that's a pretty good guess. Yeah.
Any I won't say good stories, but anything that come to mind that happens during spring break that you, I mean, there's obviously probably issues of. Driving, intoxication, those sorts of things. That's a concern of yours.
Yeah, it our population doubles in some of the coastal towns, and
gets
and,
a little rowdier.
Gets a little, yeah. Sometimes, you know, people come over and just forget about how to be polite and take care of their community, and so we have to kind of remind them sometimes. And but we do get real busy, and it's nice when, you know, fall comes and then we get our homes back, and it's not quite so crowded, but. You know, that's how we are here, and that's what our business, and it's good for our business people here. But spring is when it hits, and it's kind of nice because I know that some of the spring breaks are staggered from other states, and so we don't get it all on one, you know, weekend. But so it spreads it out over about a month or so.
You mentioned a little while ago your relationship and the sheriff's organization's relationship with the state and the legislature. You know, you hear an awful lot at the federal level to the state about unfunded mandates and what the federal government might do that the states then have to enact, whether or not there's money for it. Does the same thing happen at the state level where the states decided, oh, we're gonna go this way, and then the sheriff or the local county government says, oh, wait a second, what have we gotten ourselves into? What do we have to do to enforce a state law?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. We are involved, and that's one of the things we do is keep you know, some of those committees that we attend and that we're assigned to include state policy advice. You know, the things that come up that that could cause counties, local government to end up paying money out or costing us. And so that's a really good point. We do keep an eye on some of those things. You know, one of the you know, just an example in the past was that 1145 bill or the measure 1145. And, you know, we kind of have to argue over that money each time. They keep thinking that it costs less to do that 1145, but it should cost the same. And so that's kind of an example of that's the, you know, the taking up beds in our jails. And so if you haven't got somebody there to help you keep an eye on some of those things, you could end up with some costly decisions made. And, you know, and we got to be careful about that. Our budgets are just as bad as anybody else, and they're not getting any better.
And what is the budget of your office?
Well, we are at the patrol side is about 2.6, and about the same for the jail side. And we still are not a 24-hour coverage office. And so I would hope that someday, if it's reasonable to have 24-hour coverage, that we move that direction, at least seasonally in the summer. Because we have a resident deputy program that we keep deputies sort of spread out, and then when they come off duty, they can be called back out, or if they're coming on duty within a few hours, then they can be called when we don't have someone on. So, money's still tight, and probably going to remain that way for a while.
So at any given moment, how many folks are out on the roads?
Well, we have, when you're talking about just patrol deputies, 2 to 3 at the most. Now, we have deputies that, like I said, we get money from the Marine Board to have patrol deputies out there that are on the rivers. We have contract deputies that work in the force for U.S. Forest Service. We have one for U.S. Forest Service and 3 for State Forest. And so we have other deputies out there, and they, of course, help. And, you know, closest, whenever a call comes out, the closest deputy goes to that call until it's not an emergency anymore. But so we do have those extra deputies out there, but when it comes to patrol assignments and answering calls, there's usually only the maximum of 3.
And you work, I imagine, fairly closely with the local police where there are incorporated areas?
Yes.
And,
yes,
of course, with your colleagues at the state level.
Yeah, yeah. And OSP, Oregon State Police, has we share an office with them. We are Justice Facility. We're all out here together, and it's almost like we're one department sometimes. You're My office, I can hear the duty room where they do their reports and they talk. And if you didn't know better, you would think they were just all one police department or sheriff's office.
It is an elected office, which I should say, by the way, that we will certainly be extending time to others who are running for the office. You're up for election this coming
year. I am. This year.
This year, depending on whether there's a general or primary, how many people step into
Correct.
It.
Correct.
Police chiefs are not elected. The state equivalent and the federal are not elected. There's something, I guess it's obviously historic, about sheriff's offices in most counties being elected officials. Is that a particular challenge? Is that something that you think about? I mean, obviously, before you became sheriff, you were not elected official. All of a sudden, you feel
Correct.
Like you're wearing a slightly different hat.
It was. When I was mentioned when I was hired as a corrections deputy, I wasn't thinking about being a sheriff, and just did a good job and was promoted through the ranks. And so now it's a little different having to we have to campaign for our jobs every 4 years, and the history of sheriffs in Oregon is a really rich history, and this goes clear back to when we weren't even a state yet. Guy's name was Joseph Meeks, who was the first sheriff of Oregon, and he's buried over in Washington County, and that's something I would hope never ever would change, that sheriffs are elected, because it's the people that put that person in the office. And so you kind of get a report card every 4 years, and I think it's a great position. I'm happy to be here, and the election is soon, especially if we have 3 of us that are running, end up in the primary in May. But we've had a couple of counties in Oregon that had appointed sheriffs, and I think the pressure from all the other sheriffs in Oregon State put that back to being elected official instead of an appointed person.
Well, without getting into, I suppose, a campaign speech, you said it's a report card. What are you graded on?
Well, public safety can be graded on a few things, and one of those is that fiscal responsibility. If you aren't taking care of your budget, and we do a really good job with that here. I've been not in charge of the whole office before. This will be my first budget cycle as in charge of the whole office. I've been a division head for several years now, and I was a jail commander for 6 years. I didn't explain that earlier. I went from corrections in my early days, and then I went to the patrol side and detective and all that, and then I went back to the jail as jail commander. So I've done half and half in my career. So while I was a jail commander, I took care of that budget for 6 years. And so I have a very good experience in managing budgets. And so that's one of the things that the citizens are very concerned about, is fiscal responsibility. So that's something that's watched carefully. And of course, public safety is always very important, and whether deputies are getting to those calls and the leadership that's given, you know, and that's and there's a very close relationship with leadership and fiscal responsibility. If your office hasn't got good leadership, you're going to have issues like personnel issues, and your command staff is shuffling personnel paperwork problems on their desk rather than being the command staff that they need to be and mentoring the deputies and future lieutenants and that kind of thing. So having, you know, that really good leadership, strong leadership would cost you in personnel issues. You might have sick time abuse and workman's comp claims, that kind of thing. You know, they're looking for strong leadership. So those are a couple of things that I could put out there.
Are there any, you know, taking a bird's eye view of things beyond the day-to-day police work, sheriff work in Tillamook County? Are there bird's eye views of trends in law enforcement, at least here in Tillamook County, or perhaps more generally, that we should be aware of that we might not be? I'm thinking, for example, where do we stand with meth labs, which used to be a pretty big subject, and then because of the change in laws about availability of over-the-counter medication, that I don't hear much about that anymore.
Yeah, everything.
It really did change everything.
Sure,
so yeah. Is it less of a problem?
Well, meth itself isn't less of a problem, but the costly meth labs is not. Those have kind of gone away. Meth labs, if someone is producing meth, it's much smaller. It doesn't take that big 1980s science project that looked, you know, we were tearing apart back then.
And being a hazmat site.
And, you know, we were all going to this training wearing the suits, and it was kind of crazy and kind of wondering how much exposure we're getting to some of these things that was, you know, still fairly new. But the precursor laws changed all that. We aren't seeing those super labs or meth labs like we used to. Meth is still a problem. Heroin's still a problem. Bird's eye view, you know, we have three detectives that are assigned to narcotics, and they stay busy all the time. I think they're doing a fantastic job. I've got a really good combination of people there. And, you know, they work, like I said, they work over the border of the county, and they meet like us sheriffs do to talk about their issues and sort of make sure that we're not chasing, you know, that they're not doubling up and that they know what each other's doing. And having those contacts have solved a lot of cases. And we'd say, we've got this much on this you know, investigation. What have you got? And then all of a sudden we've got a done investigation. So that's doing pretty well. I mean, that, you know, having those people in those key positions, having the right people in them, another report card thing, having the right people in the right places that's right for the county, and having those people doing a good job, but they're not, then something needs to change and not just let things keep rolling like they have been. So we haven't made a lot of change in this office. I mean, we, you know, Todd did a good job, and so when I came in, I didn't make a bunch of changes. I brought in my command staff, and they're solid, and they're in their positions now and starting to get used to things. But I think things are going really smooth. I kind of guess the staying on the bird's eye view here. You know, our sheriff's office has parole and probation in it, and that's something that we opted into a few years ago when that became something that was a choice for sheriff's office. And not every sheriff's office in Oregon has parole and probation.
What is that exactly?
Well, it's the supervision after post-prison or a jail, and so typically that'd be a state-ran office, and so there was sort of I don't want to say it's a disconnect, but I think that there was kind of a continuity that was missing there, and we took that a few years ago, and now that's being supervised by the sheriff, and so we have many programs that happen in the jail about substance abuse and alcohol abuse that we continue once they're released. So we have a release program that continues with that supervision. So there's no disconnect there. And so, you know, an example of when we do a release from the jail, we don't do them on weekends. Even if their sentence falls on a Saturday or Sunday, we release them on that Friday, which maybe gives them a day or two, lucky. Or, you know, we do it on a Monday. And the reason why is because our parole and probation's open on Friday and Monday. And if that release happens on a Saturday, that person may not show up on Monday to check in with their probation officer. So we do it where it's nice and easy. they check in there, they know what the rules are, and they've given their guidance and when their next appointment is going to be. And so there's that flow works. And I think that having that under the sheriff's office and the processes that we do and the programs we have has really helped on our recidivism rate. And I don't know what the numbers are yet because we just finished the year, but we usually fall somewhere in the top five our recidivism is low. And so we usually end up in that lower five, and we might be in the low threes. And what's interesting is all of those low recidivism rates are sheriff's offices that have the probation within their office. And Marion County is one of those, and there's several more. So,
in the last 10 years since 9/11, there's sort of been, a trickle down of what started with Homeland Security and funding that is provided at the state and the local level. I suppose on one level, do you have more toys that you get to play with because there's been some federal money? And is there anything about the whole issue of Homeland Security that is an issue for you that has made your job either easier or harder?
Well, I think we don't have more toys. that'd be nice. We don't have more toys. I think it opened up a line of communication between federal agencies, FBI, and us. Several of our people here in this office have FBI clearances, and so we're privy to that information that they have on these kinds of things that we would be concerned with in this county or in the Northwest. So I hear quite a bit of that information, and otherwise I don't think we would have. I think it was totally different before, and so that's one thing I think is the biggest change. It's just that open line of communication. They're willing to talk with us and work with us, and it's I think it's much better since then.
And a parallel question, I guess, because there's been a certain amount of immigration into this county.
There is.
How to deal with possibly undocumented aliens. Do you have a feeling about how that's going? And I suppose there are also some civil rights concerns as well.
There is, especially when you think about, Arizona and South. Our immigration policy and this office is that we have a very good working relationship with ICE. That's the Immigration Customs Enforcement. Anyone that comes that's arrested, we don't go out. We have enough to do. We don't go out and look for undocumented and illegals. We just fill the jail up. It costs us so much money, and we're not going to get reimbursed for that. Immigration's a federal problem. And so our policy is that if there's a law, if they're arrested, if they violate a criminal law and they're brought into jail, we contact ICE. We have a really good relationship with them. They usually 99% of the time put a hold on those folks and then do their investigation while we're working on our criminal part of it. If they bring bail money, they have an ICE hold. They don't go anywhere. They stay in the jail. So this is how we deal with that. And once we're complete with our process of whatever criminal justice process we end up with, a prosecution or what have you, then they go to ICE and they're either deported or that's up to them. But again, we have one deputy in the jail who is assigned to that, and that's Sergeant Rico, and she's very good at it. She knows the process. She knows who to call, and they expect, when they hear from the same person, they tend to act better. We have that relationship built, and we've been doing that for a long time.
I have a guess that you probably that is not an answer that if you're running for sheriff in Arizona, it's a different world.
We're all in the same circuit court, Ninth Circuit. But
true.
So what happens there affects us here. But spending the citizens' money on what's the best buy for their dollar, and to go out and try to do what the federal government's responsible for would be. A mistake, and like I said, we could expend all everything we have, and we don't have that much money. And so, like I said, we have a lot of other problems, and we do take action when anyone that's not a U.S. citizen violates a law. So,
one area we have not touched upon, and brief amount of time we have left with Sheriff Andy Long of the Tillamook County Sheriff's Office, is emergency preparedness. I know there's a whole separate office for that.
That's
part
of us too.
But when it happens, you're going to be in the thick of it.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I'm one lucky sheriff because, you know, we have one of the best emergency managers in the state. He just, Gordon McCraw, and he does an excellent job for me. So it's one of those things that that's one less knot in my shoulder because he does such a good job. He was, last year, he was Emergency Manager of the Year, which that's voted on by his colleagues, and he does a great job. We and we are prepared. He was just received a grant from Oregon State Emergency Management, and we're working on putting the have you heard about the airborne information system that we actually put in a plane, an aircraft, and it'll be for Oregon wide, not just for Tillamook County, but it's a speaker system that we used during a tsunami drill in Pacific City, and we're they are getting, I shouldn't say we, but Gordon and the rest of the county are putting different outreach programs together, and we're going to do one for all of Tillamook Bay, so it'd be Pacific City and Tillamook, and it'll be quite a deal, and we're going to use that aircraft, but we were given, back to the grant, we were given a grant to buy this system, and it's going to work really good. I was amazed at how well you could hear in Pacific City during the tsunami drill we did. And it was clear as day, telling you to get off the beach, and it works really wonderful. It's a good deal.
At the same time, it's not likely you're going to be able to drive from Pacific City to Manzanita after that.
Not with a local,
right? So, that's your charge is the whole county. So,
yes.
How are from your office's point of view, are you going to be dividing things up? Are we all on our own to some extent?
Well, yes. That is true. If we have a local tsunami or local quake right here in our Cascadia, everyone should prepare to be on their own. They should have at least, they say, a 48-hour kit. I have more than 48 hours set up, and you know, my wife gives me a hard time about being overly prepared, but she'll appreciate it if anything ever happens. But I do recommend that to citizens to be prepared to hold their own for quite a while. They can't rely on emergency services. We are working at keeping supplies because if we had a local situation, the Valley is going to be out too. They aren't going to be able to provide us any help, so we're on our own. So we are looking at putting supplies and dispersed out through the county, and working with our local fire departments at having the ability to store equipment and maybe having things spread out a little bit when we know that there's a possibility maybe of a flood or something, you know, when we have bridges out and that kind of thing, about getting equipment moved around. So, and we're getting pretty good at this. You know, we have a couple storms this winter, and the Japan tsunami was really good for us to kind of sort out things we can do different.
So you'll be continually practicing emergency preparedness, as we should. We should all be doing
you
that.
You bet. Yeah, figure out what your routes are.
Right.
I live in Pacific City, and I know where my route is.
Yeah. Well, it's been a great pleasure to talk with the Sheriff of Tillamook County, Andy Young. Thank you for joining us. And since it is election year, we should also mention that an extending an invitation to candidate or candidates who are also going to be working toward that position. We would appreciate hearing from anyone who would like to participate. Sheriff, thank you very much for joining us
this
morning
on
The Economy View. And we will see you next month.